Och, Bailey, this is your conscience speaking.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my
As
God.
Everyone knows, your conscience is Scottish. I'm here to tell you that that thing that you did this morning was immoral, and you should feel bad about it.
What? What did Bailey do this morning?
He's responsible for why I stuck a paintbrush in my coffee.
You did oh, what?
It's long.
You mean the oil pastel
story.
Caramel macchiato?
The oil pastel caramel.
What was the other ones I wrote
yeah,
down?
The Americano the Foresto. Yeah, the Gesso Espresso, the Americano Foresto Camo. Yeah.
The
oh my God.
Mate. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I drank. Okay.
Latte mate.
I'm actually very partial to the latte mate.
I like the latte. The latte mate. It could go either way. What I'm saying is this situation had a prequel and a postquel, and Bailey's responsible for the prequel. And let me tell you why. It's because we had a conversation with some people, Bailey and I, about like when you hit a water jar with a metallic paint, you get metallic flakes in the water jar. So always have two, always have two cups. You have one cup for non-metallics and one cup for metallics. I've been doing that for years. So I have one cup for non-metallics, one cup for metallics, one cup for water that I drink, one cup for coffee. It's all on my workbench. Things start to get, it's
a
target-rich environment.
Cups, dude.
It's a target-rich environment on my workbench.
Are they all coffee cups?
Two of them are mugs, and that was what caused the problem, because one of the mugs was the coffee.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's where you fucked up.
Oh, it was great.
You got to get like a hamster watering thing, but you inside.
Yes.
You push the ball and then you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You get a little thirsty, like, ah, oh, good. And then you'll never put
right
your paintbrush
there.
In that.
It is an untapped market. Oh, the hamster. Every time you wash off your brush, it just goes.
I can totally imagine a hamster coffee dispenser.
Ugh.
Yeah, like a comically large coffee dispenser up above his workstation.
I will buy that.
IV of coffee. Like,
oh,
holding.
I was just thinking too.
That's my normal. That's what I normally use. But anyway, so I'm painting metallic. It's like one of those Vallejo metallics. And you know, like I hit the brush.
Non-toxic.
Yeah, well, okay, that's where I'm going with this. I'm a brush licker. We'll talk about brush licking later on, but
you dirty brush licker.
I'm a proud brush licker. I've been a brush licker my entire life.
Do you have specific paintbrushes for that? That you know that you shouldn't, like, they're taped weird or something, so you know you shouldn't lick them if they're metallic.
I lick metallics. Yeah, I'm not.
I lick all.
I'm not healthy. Let's.
An iron
this is
deficiency.
Not. Sure. I mean, I don't have any metallic paint. So I'm painting with a metallic, and of course, you know, the mug that I normally use for metallics is right there, and then the mug that I'm drinking coffee out of is right here. So, you know, I dip the paintbrush in the mug, and it's like, all right, cool, and I go to wipe it off on my paper towel, and it's brown, and that's not supposed to be coffee color. So my first thought was, can I still drink the coffee?
Can you salvage the coffee? That's
the answer is yes. I finished the cup. But my second thought was, well, should I rinse the brush off again? Or because like all the paint was off of it because I just washed it in coffee.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. What a world. In conclusion, what a strange world we live in. Right, guys?
Yeah, man.
Wild.
Oh, wild. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the podcast.
Well, thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. See you guys next time.
Hope everyone had fun. This one's a little different, I think. Mm-hmm.
It's
this
gonna
is
be.
Not so much. I mean, it is hobby related. It's not so much of a how-to episode. It's kind of, I don't know, Bailey. You explain it. You do word mind words good.
Say thoughts
English?
And make words.
Good mind words.
Say thoughts, go.
Say, yes.
Yeah, so it's my fault. I hijacked the topic. Because I just thought, we've had discussions about inspirations, like we said on previous episodes. And I was just curious, you know, the way things go in this hobby, you kind of branch out. You know, you take an interest in different things, provided, you know, you allow yourself to do that. So I was just curious, you know, in terms of how people within the scale modeling hobby and adjacent hobbies, like where, you know, what kind of what got them into it, and then extending from that, because we've already touched on that before, where you've taken it, where has this interest extended into, like what other fandoms that, you know, have sparked your interest, or what other kinds of activities or hobbies have you kind of gone into just by way of, you know, picking up a plastic model and, you know, putting something together, you know?
Yeah. It's a gateway hobby.
It is a fucking gateway hobby.
And first, you know, hit's free.
Another,
right.
Another idea for this episode as well, in lieu of pretty shitty recent news.
Yeah.
What's the shitty recent news?
Oh, I mean, yeah. A lot of people, it's been quite a year, 2020, but, you know, for us in particular within this fiefdom of geekdom, we've lost Grant Imahara of Mythbusters and Star Wars ILM fame, and it kind of really, like, my wife sent the news to me in a text the morning, you know, when we found out, and it was like that really kind of gutted us in that, to find that out. That was really something else. It's
Grant Imahara was a you know, bastion of scientific knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and enthusiasm and robotics, you know, all of these fantastic nerdy things. And I really look up to Grant. Like, I still look up to Grant and everything that he did for the world, and everything that he did for those of us who are, like, weirdly curious and willing to work in a garage with a bunch of junk, you know. Mm-hmm. His time on Mythbusters, like, absolutely made a huge impact on my life and how I look at engineering, but also, like, how I treat my hobbies. You know, if you want to find out if something works, just try it out,
mm-hmm.
and do it badly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with fucking watching Mythbusters with, like, my parents and shit. And one of the first Star Wars movies I ever saw as a kid was Episode 1. And I've always been, like, weirdly intrigued with the practical effects side of that. And he was responsible, I believe, for most of the R2 movements. Like, mm-hmm. it's all controlled. And it's something where it's, you know, in the scale modeling maker community, robotics community, I mean, this guy has had a large spread of inspiration to everyone. I mean, whether you're just someone that watched Mythbusters or, like, fuck around with, you know, building robots and dope shit, like, I'm sure, yeah. Grant touched your life in some way or another. So Bailey had the great idea that this episode is going to be dedicated to Grant. You know, let's go ahead. Let's roll in the music, and then we'll get back into it with old Tino here. He's gonna sign us in.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cutting Mat Podcast. I'm Tino, also known as Big Feet Roman, all over the internet, the one who will pierce the heavens. To my virtual left is the one and only Bailey.
Yeah, I'm Bailey, Kamau _Zeta, everywhere on the internet, mainly Instagram, but stay tuned. And I'm just going to keep him to the left of me. I could put him on the right, you know, but it just makes more sense on the left.
Where are we sitting? We're recording this online. We're not even sitting near each other. What is happening?
Brandon.
Thank you. That's his
listed name.
Yeah.
It says, but right, like, here on the
we don't
the roll call.
The reason why this is so weird for us is because there's no left and right. We're recording this virtually, and we're all
like in space.
Yeah, like we're waveforms on a screen, and electrons or whatever. So
yes, those are words.
I'm Brandon. I go by Mecha Genre on Instagram and on MechaGenre.com, and I build model kits using the name Mecha Genre. And the other electron in the podcast is this fellow named Joel, who I'm going to introduce right now.
I am an electron. I don't fucking know. It's Joel, a.k.a. Uncle Ricky, or Ricky the Uncle, or a.k.a. fucking True Gunpla everywhere else online.
Truck Nuts McGee.
Truck Nuts have, there's so much drama in the Truck Nuts community.
There's more drama. Oh,
but God. We're not here for that. That's for other podcasts, Truck Nuts on the Hour.
Yeah, call in to that. It's a call-in show, actually, so you can call in.
Yeah, every hour it gets updated. It's a lot of work, but hey, someone's got to keep them fucking hanging and swinging. So
when you're passionate like about a topic like Truck Nuts, you got to do it.
When you're a pair of Truck Nuts, you have to stay in the news.
You're always hanging around somewhere, yep.
But like we said earlier, we've done an episode on inspiration, and it was kind of like how to find your inspiration. It may not be something that you want. You can't force it. And I think for a lot of us, and where this episode kind of blossomed from, was that a lot of us got back into Gunpla, or like myself got into Gunpla for the first time. And then it led us down like 30 different fucking avenues of hobbies maintaining a relation. Think of it as a big fucking Venn diagram that Gunpla is always kind of in the center. And all these other things take elements from building tiny plastic robots. And it's kind of this great gateway drug. It's like, you know, fucking Bandai is like, hey, you want to fucking hit of this kid? I got some robots here.
Don't you want to hit of this Playmo? You can build a robot. Then maybe you'll end up building a tank or a bomber or an airplane.
Yeah.
Hopefully
or get into fucking miniatures. Or
that, exactly.
The entire diorama of the final run through the Death Star.
Yeah, trench. Oh, we've seen crazy trenches.
You'll make a stupid podcast with three of your friends. It'll bring you to weird places.
1/144th scale.
Oh, that sounds lame.
By the way, a
high grade podcast.
Yeah, this is a 1/144th scale podcast.
Aren't the little Star Wars stuff 1/144th?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, the little tiny ones.
Oh, I think those are smaller. Hold on. I can look this up.
They are. A 1/144th person would be about that size, I think, right?
Well, sure. I mean, they would love it if you did the 1/72nd scale. Yeah,
yes, they would. They would love it if you did the 1/24th scale.
Yeah.
Fuck it. 1:1 scale.
1:1 scale X-Wing. That's my daily drive. I
always wanted a Star Destroyer.
That's my daily drive. I daily drive an X-Wing.
Gas mileage is awful.
It's just terrible.
Take a drive down a Skywalker
I kill hundreds
ranch.
Of Womp Rats every day on my way to work. Yeah.
For no fucking reason.
God, this man is insane.
Stuck in traffic at Beggar's Canyon. This is terrible.
Oh, man. That sounds like the next Patreon sticker is a Beggar's Canyon Beggar's stuck in traffic sticker.
Rush Hour in Beggar's Canyon.
Rush Hour in Beggar's Canyon.
I love that.
T-shirt. I survived Rush Hour in fucking the Bonte Eve. But yeah, like we were saying earlier, this one's going to be not so much about how to get inspired. And if you want to learn how to get inspired, I mean, we had a really good episode on that. But this is we're all four of us are going to be talking about kind of the other avenues that we got from this hobby. And I think the biggest one is the one you're listening to right now is getting into a podcast.
Yep.
Ironically, and I'm sure most people don't know this, but if you go on my YouTube channel, there was two videos called The Cutting Mat, and it was kind of like my weird attempt to condense what I was working on, then also what was happening in like the GBA community and on Twitch, saying like, oh, so-and-so did this, and here's some recaps, and here's what I'm working on, and here's this, and here's that. And I was like, well, this is cool. But I think it would be better if I had three other people with me. So it wasn't me talking to myself in my room. And that's how we got here.
We're not just voices in Joel's head.
Yeah, well, it's just not my random thoughts. We are voices good.
In his head, but...
But we're also voices in your head, listener.
Right, we're voices in your head. We're talking directly to you, listener, right now. We're voices
How
in your
many
head.
How many of y'all
That's because Joel
you
is that
podcast.
Kid that has that dream.
What?
What?
The dream? A wet dream?
Wait.
From X-Files, right?
This podcast is just a wet dream.
Oh, no.
Is this podcast a wet dream?
Yes.
That explains so much.
Yeah.
Oh. I have a lot of things to think about.
Yeah. If this podcast, that would explain everything if this podcast was just a wet dream. Oh.
But real shit. Do the three of you think you'd be doing this stupid podcast with me, you know, 2 years ago?
I had no expectations. But no.
Not,
I had not high until... ones, and they've been attained.
We were, like, I knew that I wanted to communicate with people in the hobby so that I could, like, help people understand the hobby and help myself understand the hobby. That's what the podcast is doing for me. Like, I feel like I understand the hobby a lot better just from thinking about it so much and then presenting it on the podcast. But it turned out to be, and that's why I made mechagenre.com, because I thought that website was going to be the medium. This is the medium. Like, podcasts are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
listen
dope.
To our podcast. Yeah. You already are. We know. You already.
This is just a big ad for our podcast.
It was the movie Evolution is a Head and Shoulders ad.
Damn.
Yeah, the whole movie. It's really pretty funny. I recommend Evolution. But yeah, Head and Shoulders ad. Spoiler alert.
Been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong with that though.
And yet another X-Files reference.
Yeah. but that brings up a good point. You had a website for this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still have a web. We all, I mean, a good amount of us have websites for this shit. Is that something you thought about, like, you'd think you'd get into, like, web design and shit?
No way, 0%. It's like, you start building these model kits. Actually, Gunpla, I started with these kits. Like, before I got into miniatures.
Oh, really?
And before I got into Dungeons & Dragons, I was building these Gundam models. It was even, honestly, just after I got into the Gundam, Gundam Wing happened, and then Gunpla came out. Well, Gunpla turned out to be, it was this huge, it just branched off into all this other stuff, like anime that I never would have watched otherwise.
Dang, that's quick.
Yeah.
If that, because I thought you'd been in miniatures initially and for a long time prior to Gunpla.
Never, so I wasn't, really in the hobby, you know, like when you get into the hobby, you're like reading these online blogs and like you're in it. You know, the way I think about it is this is something that you're going to need to devote a lot of time to get better. I had like a passing interest in minis. Like I was, you know, painting sort of, but I didn't really know how to get better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess I must have been in middle school or something back then. Mm. That's about when I started out.
So that was pretty early on.
Yeah,
Shit.
I'm a lifer.
I didn't think about any of this shit until well after I graduated. I mean, shit, I've already been working IT for fucking at least a couple of years. And I was playing shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I ordered a Gundam kit off of eBay or some shit. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I built it. I was like, oh, this is garbage. It's like a first grade
this is garbage.
Double O kit or some shit. It was trash, but... I think that it's one of those weird fucking hobbies where no one, I mean, there are people that just, they get into Gunpla and they just build Gunpla and that's it. That's all they do.
Yeah.
But I think nothing the moment that, you even make an Instagram or you know, share your stuff online, you're already exploring the different avenues of content creation and showing off your work, and
you've opened a slippery can of worms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking
you've plugged in
Scarlac pit. It's not even a can of worms at that point. It's a huge fucking crater of just what do you want to do?
It is. Ugh. What's the weirdest thing? What's the weirdest thing that each of you think that Gunpla has branched you into?
You go first. You're the
okay, mine's the podcast. Questions. Mine is the podcast.
Really? It's the weirdest thing?
So I was never the kid that didn't like to do technical presentations in engineering school. You know, I was just this nerdy engineer that liked to build model kits. I never thought that I would be talking into a microphone to you, the listener, right now. That's it was just, you know, that was like outside of my imagination. It's kind of cool that it turned out this way.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. Tina, fucking Tina, what do you got, dog?
This runs parallel to Gundam, but I think the weirdest thing that it's gotten me into is super robots.
In general, they're very, that's awesome.
I wish I had more super robot kits, but like I love super robot shows way more than most other things now.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't tell, Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, you dropped that Danner. Reference at the beginning.
Yeah. Just so many. And they're all so weird and so obnoxious and so fun to watch.
They're so weird. Ugh.
Especially Gurren Lagann.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, no.
Go Danner. I watched it, but it's been a while ago. I don't recall, but I distinctly remember how odd Gurren Lagann was. I gotta watch it again.
High quality animation, though. I'm a big fan of the.
What is
it? It stands
that
up was, like.
Who is that? Trigger? Who was that?
Is Trigger.
Is Trigger, right? Yeah. For me, it was the direction that the brand was heading was causing me to really think about what the weirdest thing is. But, Tino, in terms of things that I've gotten into that I didn't expect, like, you know, areas. Like a message in our group chat, like World War II, like,
oh, you know? Yeah.
And it's not even
a weird one.
Well, it's weird, but not even that really. Like if you, you know, if you really look into, it's not even buried that deep in the story of 0079 and whatnot. It's right there. It's World War II.
Yep. It is.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, but,
they drop a couple references in certain areas, don't they?
For sure. I mean, even that, the just novel. The visual of it too, you know?
Yep. The Gundam novel although, has some really blatant references. Yep.
I think the Zeon outfit's more akin to Prussian or something like that.
Yeah. It's, World War One. Right. Because the, you know, spiky helmet kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And green more so than the dark gray and whatnot. But, that's actually in relation to picking up a few, tank models, a few armor models, you know.
Ah, so playmo direction.
Huh. Yeah, it's like you get interested in tanks and then you want to look up you know,
when was this used, where was it used? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And it's like, that's holy cool. Crap, you know, you're five clicks deep into Wikipedia pages and all kinds of stuff, and it's yeah. So it's probably and also not just older too, but like Middle East conflict and stuff like that too.
That's I've got a minor tangent that kind of fits in here. When I got into miniatures, I got into like fantasy miniatures and sci-fi miniatures, but also historical miniatures for a long time. And historical miniatures results in a lot of historical research to make sure that you get like armor styles and armor colors. And like, you've got to get shield heraldry correct. And like, yeah, you know, you want to get it correct because like the old dudes at the game store will yell at you if you don't because they know everything for some reason. I legitimately wanted these things to be correct. Like it was a weird feeling. It's like, oh, well, you know, I want to make sure that I'm historically accurate, even though these are miniatures.
You missed a lapel pin.
Right. But don't you know that every Polish hussar had a lapel pin in the shape of a wing?
Your rank left is a strange breath color.
Yeah.
28 millimeter.
Actually, the rank insignias on those Allied uniforms were cream, and you used eggshell.
Get the fuck out of my sight.
Get the fuck out of my sight. I don't want to talk to you.
What is this, amateur hour over here?
it's amateur hour at the Historical Miniature Gaming Convention. Oh, look at the guy that came in with the blue German uniforms. Ugh.
These are supposed to be old gold. You use brass. I'm going to vomit.
Look, this is old gold. This is brass. They're different. Oh, sorry. I had them switched. Yeah.
Fucking weird shit. Rivet Counters. Yeah, that's a whole different episode.
Rivet Counters. Good name for a podcast, though. If somebody makes a podcast called Rivet Counters. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I would never listen to it.
I would probably listen to it, ironically.
I listened to it once or twice, like, I tried it, but
What do we have it? There's a name for that type in every subgenre of scale modeling. What is it in Gundam? It's like, I don't know.
Oh,
I'm trying to think.
There's a, okay, I've got a name for it.
Purist. Sure.
Well, it hasn't caught on, but there's the Federation Survey Service in the MSV manga. Their job is to go around and research old mobile suits for the Federation.
Man.
And so the Survey Service effectively are like the mobile suit researchers.
Yeah. The rivet counters.
Yeah, the rivet counters. That's it. Yep. Their job is rivet counting. Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds boring as hell.
Joel, what's
sounds
your
like the
your...
worst job to like you wake up and then like, oh my god, the Gundam universe is real life.
Yeah.
What am I? Oh, I'm a fucking researcher.
I'm a rivet counter. I don't get to drive anything.
I don't even get to drive the fucking service car. They make me take a bicycle to all these fucking things.
How did they actually do ride bicycles? Yeah. Like from it's really weird how many bicycles there are in manga. They love bicycles, and I love it too because that's such a good way to get around. Oh, this has turned into quite a tangent. Joel, what is your weirdest?
The golden days.
This has brought you.
I the weirdest or oh man, so much. I mean, fuck. That's a whole thing, man, well, like, because
we don't like, I don't think the rest of us have content on Pornhub. So that at least is a cool
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of it, man, from doing like, I made a shitty tutorial video that accidentally got attention and, that spiraled into like getting more into, cause I was actually doing Pokemon card unboxings, before.
That was
TCG.
The TCG. And I was doing it anonymously because, like, you know, I didn't want some like fucking kid watching this and be like, oh, who's this? They're in what band now?
They
talk about what? But I really wanted to get into like the YouTube world, and Gunpla kind of got me into there, and then I kind of took a step back and like. I don't know, man. I've been to California for this shit and it's weird. It's really fucking weird to say that, but I think probably by far the weirdest thing that I, is people coming up to me at the events that I don't fuck complete fucking strangers. And they would come up and be like, hey, you're so-and-so. I'm like, yep. All right. And I mean, I've been in bands before. I've played, you know, countless shows and shit, and that's happened a lot. But it's, you know, that's
pretty
that makes sense there.
Like,
yeah, that
oh,
makes
hey.
Sense. That's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's not gonna happen at fucking IPMS, but it does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the weird thing that, I mean, at least for me, and I even talked to Rachel with this, is just like, just how the reaction is to a lot of the stuff that we do. And the fact that there is so much support and there is so much creation and all this shit happening that fucking Joe Blow like ourselves can go out there and make something fucking awesome and hundreds of thousands of people fucking fuck with it. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing is definitely being on Pornhub and getting a Pornhub check for a dollar.
That's pretty cool. like,
well, actually,
you got paid. Hey.
Yeah. That was before they changed their things. I have to like, now I have to like reapply and take a photo with like my name written on it with my license, driver license.
Get
but
verified.
May as well. Yeah.
Get
may as well
verified.
Do it.
Yeah. Might as well. I mean, hey, that was definitely the weirdest for sure.
I think that the thing about like the way that we're just like regular dudes, like total
nerds, that's what fucking makes me weird.
Yeah, we're like weirdo dorks with no podcast experience, but I think we want to contribute to the hobby. Like we want to contribute to the community.
Yeah,
this is a good way to do it.
Honestly, no, I take that back. The weirdest thing for me from scale modeling was quitting my job of working in like IT for. I mean, so long, years and years to work at Holy Mountain. And one of the sole things that kind of secured my job there was how I handled my Gunpla content online.
Yeah.
How I presented myself. You know, I was even back then I was selling shirts, but it was through like fucking Printful or some shit. It was really shitty quality, but it was the way I presented it that kind of secured, like, okay, if you can do that with fucking tiny robots, you can do that with an actual company.
Mm-hmm. Well, the skills, yeah, skills are transferable.
Yeah, and that's something where I feel like we need the message, but it's segue from Don't Be a Menace to South Central every time we do a segue here. But well, that's one thing.
Gin and juice.
Yeah. The one thing I always try to tell people is that, like, Gunpla's dope, and it's a great hobby. And if you enjoy it as just a hobby, fucking do it. But it's also a great gateway into doing other things in your life that have real world, I mean, quote unquote, real world skills. I mean, everything mm-hmm. from photography mm-hmm. to video production to web design to fucking podcast shit to even just, you know, learning what colors look good with each other and learning basic art and color theory. I think this is something we've all experienced.
Aesthetics.
Tino, like you did art before this. Before like Gunpla and the podcast and shit, but like, has it opened up more avenues for you to do other shit that it's not directly just snapping a model kit together and putting paint on it?
It's definitely got me more interested in trying to draw robots. I'm not, anytime I do, it's not necessarily technical.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. Right. I mean, I remember you've got the Nozaku sticker with the goof head, and then you've got the little Zaku with the horn.
They still look super cartoony.
Zaku horn.
They're super cartoony, but the thing is, they work. You know, they're like fun characters. You know, you basically apply something from one of the hobbies to another hobby, and it turns into something unique.
Yeah.
It kind of sets you apart. I think that style sets you apart.
And I mean, Brandon, I'm trying more stuff with my Gunpla. Like, I'm gonna try and step up my game for that the HG contest.
Oh yeah,
just a week.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Hangar 18 joint. Brandon,
yeah.
Here's a question, because the question that Joel posed to Tino, it got me thinking as well. A lot of the builders I admire, they tend to have a background in a creative field in particular, you know, if it's graphic design, or, you know, they're an actual artist like Tino, or, you know, graphics or different web design or whatever, even just a maker, like an actual maker of stuff. So, I know you have a background in engineering, and for me, it's similar. It's like a background in social science even. So it's like,
right.
Doesn't it feel like you're pushing yourself to have a kind of creative vision that may not necessarily come naturally based on the career that you have?
Well, 100%. The aesthetics are not something that I consider,
mm-hmm.
at least not that way, you know, in a, like a professional capacity. Mm-hmm. Because I deal with graphs at work, graphs and data mm-hmm. and math, and I don't deal with robots or, you know, color selection. Like mm-hmm. it's useful for PowerPoints, but like, you know, color selection was something that I developed entirely on my own with mm-hmm. no training. But mm-hmm. you did say maker. I have been a maker my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we mentioned Grant Imahara at the beginning of this, and he was one of my inspirations to like start being a maker, like start just making stuff.
Yeah.
I think that made it easier for me to branch. Basically, it made it easier to get into model kit building in general, because I was used to making stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And since I like that already, it was only a logical next step to mm-hmm. go from, okay, well, look, I can make stuff and then I can finish it and make it look good, you know, make it look like a professional product. And mm-hmm. then, oh, well, but I can make this car model look like a real car. I can make this robot model look like a real robot, even though it's, you know, not a real. Do you guys know Gundam's not real? I found that out recently.
What?
I've been, what? You know, I have
what
a hard
are we
time
doing in a
podcast.
I was under the impression this shit was real.
I could be wrong. Dude. I don't know. I don't know, man. I heard it from the internet, which is questionable at best.
I thought they were real robots, Don. Just like small
robots that were plastic, but still big. Right, they're actually big, but they're just small. They're small, but they're really big, yeah.
Okay.
That's they're a very versions of small robots?
Yeah, that's... Sure.
That's it right there?
But your question, Bailey, is something that I think about a lot. It is, I don't have any, like, you know, the experience that I have in aesthetics is from model kit building. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, what about you? Because I think, like, I'm, you know, I'm part of being an engineer and part of my job is being a maker.
It's still that precision, though, that you have. So I find myself even more removed in that sense. Yeah, I mean, similar to you, I deal with, you know, with graphs and statistics and things like that often. And even, like you said, again, doing presentations, doing, you know, posters and whatnot, you got to think about aesthetics, you got to think about layout and, you know, balance and whatnot. But what, mm-hmm. I don't know, I go into it just before getting back into Gunpla, doing it when I was younger, like, I started similar to you. I think I was in... I'm old. I was in, like,
Bailey's
starting
like
high school or something like that. I don't remember what it was, but it was around Gundam Wing time as well. So, like, I did stuff then, you know, got into airbrushing, customizing, stuff like that. And I didn't really have necessarily, you know, something that I did like that a lot. I mean, I guess maybe my brothers, especially my older brother, I have two older brothers, but one is, like, you know, right above me. He, you know, he watched him my whole life fixing cars and just making stuff and fixing things and getting a sense of how that would work. And just knowing that if you put your mind to it, you can get it done. So that's the way I go into it right now, is that, I have a certain view of the way I would like to see things. I intensely admire the work you do. I intensely admire the work that, you know, you see with other builders on Instagram. And I have, like, that's cool. I have my way that I would like to have that done or see that done.
Yeah.
And I just have a way of the way I want to do it. Like, even with scratch building, it's like, I just think in my mind, how would these things make sense together? And it could be pretty different from other people. But, you know, the thing that intrigues me is that I don't think it's necessarily coming from a direct experience. Like, certainly not my degree or any of the research I do. It's just a sense, like, that I hope what we are doing with this podcast and I'd like to continue doing with my building is just inspire people. Like, you don't necessarily have to be an artist. You don't necessarily have to be a person that is doing that, not, you know,
right.
as yeah. what you do. You can just get into it and just say to yourself, I want to see it like this and make it happen. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. If you just get a cool idea, just do the idea, you know?
Yeah.
And for things like art, it's pretty common to be self-taught, like a self-taught artist, you know? If it's your hobby, isn't that weird? Huh? Gee,
That's a thing.
How crazy is that?
Do
it's
what?
It's even like career wise too. There's so many artists that do shit for a living that they never went to art school for.
Right. Yep. That's exactly it. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, going to music school and then you work at Guitar Center. I don't think you needed to go to music school for that.
Going to music school, working at Guitar Center, and helping a super fucking star choose a backup guitar that they didn't go to school to learn how to play.
Right, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, in technical fields, it's just hard to get in there without, like, the formal training. But with art, it's you know,
it's
you got to be good. You got to set yourself apart. But I think a lot of that comes from your attitude and your mindset. Like, it's different in that, you know, like, sure, our careers and our hobbies are different, but they both come from the same place because they both come from us. Mm-hmm. So the person determines what kind of things that person does.
Yep.
And then all of your, you know, all of your activities, like, quote unquote activities, it's really more like all of your media. Like, if you consider Gunpla to be a medium, miniatures are a medium, you know, art is a medium, you know, t-shirts are a medium in that case. Even, you know, psychology research is a medium. And you use those to, like, put a piece of yourself out in the world. And it all branches out in this big web. everything is interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to draw it, you go freaking crazy because you realize how many connections there are. Like everything mm-hmm. we do affects everything else. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing about starting. Like, even if you don't start with Gunpla, maybe you got there from somewhere else. If you can follow the path to find out where you came from, maybe you can figure out where you might want to go next. Yeah. Like, that's a fun thing to do. What hobbies might you be interested in? How can you use the either scratch building, you know, planning, aesthetics, skills that you learned from Gunpla to help you do that?
Great point. And exactly where what I had in mind when I pitched the idea.
Yeah, very good.
perfectly stated there.
You can hijack our podcast anytime. We behind the scenes look into how we select topics for the podcast. We all sit in a board meeting. It's a very formal affair.
It's a meeting about boards.
Yeah. We're all bored and it's a meeting. It's a we usually these meetings last between 1 week and 2 months. Just to come up with one topic.
It's very serious business.
They get contentious, though. They do get heated. Usually, you know, Tino throws something. It's been getting heavier.
Instantly.
He walks into the room and he throws, like, you know, a hot coffee.
Donuts.
Yeah.
It's like usually myself out the window.
Yeah, that's 50-50 defenestration on that one. Yep. and then at the end, you know, we chisel it out. We come up with a perfect topic. Exactly the topic that you want to hear at that particular time. This chiseled gem of a topic, you know, Billy just comes in an hour before we record and
shits on every other topic and says, "This is the
he drops knowledge on us.
We're not fucking talking about that
today."
Sometimes that's the best topics. I mean, sometimes that's most of our conversation.
No, for real, those are
It's I think
Tini, you're gonna throw something. You can throw something.
He's throwing something right now.
Fuck that. We're doing this.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Hold on. We're gonna fucking take it back a step to that literal segue that happened. I think Gunpla is a stepping stone. I think it's a hobby. It's a legitimate hobby, legitimate thing. You know, it's dope. People do Gunpla full time. People have businesses and all that shit. But in terms of the average
stepping stone.
It is a fucking one. I would say 160 scale stepping stone. It is for sure for the general public. I would say it is definitely a stepping stone into the maker world or into various other worlds like we talked about before. I mean, shit. Even just the podcast about, you know, originally the scale modeling hobby.
Yeah.
We went off and did a secondary one about miniatures and hand painting because that was an avenue we took from building these stupid fucking robots.
Mm-hmm. These goddamn stupid
son of fucking stupid fucking robots, man.
It's the robots.
It's true though.
It is. Yeah. Not all hobbies, I think, are this universal. Like, you know, you got a ridiculous number of skills coming out of this.
Tino, you play Magic. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Is Magic a stepping stone for like the majority of the shit half the people are into in Gunpla?
Actually, I feel like Magic is the final boss.
Okay. Yeah.
Pokemon is a stepping stone, and then Yu-Gi-Oh, and then every other card game in between, and then Magic, and Magic never ends.
Magic, the highest levels of Magic, just like the highest levels of Gunpla, are just fucking insane. They are astronomically complex.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Just even seeing like the base level pre-release nights in like Fayetteville, it was just insanity.
Isn't it a literal random dungeon?
Well, yeah. Actually, yes, sort of. Huh.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting. It can just be done again. And again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
It's a nice way to grind for levels and resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I take us another step back real quick?
Yeah.
I definitely thought of another super weird thing that Gunpla has gotten me into.
Mm-hmm.
And that is doing panels.
How did we forget about that?
Yeah, dude. So like I was already on the convention circuit for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years before I did my first panel with John.
Well, we had you signed up for DuckDuckConCon, but then we had to cancel because of COVID.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But before that, yeah.
And then after doing that, a buddy of mine asked me to do some Godzilla panels with him. So there was a good like 3 or 4 years where I was doing Gunpla and Godzilla back to back, as well as tending the table. So that was really weird, just talking to people about stuff that I liked.
Mm-hmm. That's how I got started in conventions. Was when John invited out to the first one at In Amazement. Mm-hmm. And it went from that, and then the next year it was a literal packed room of like 100 something people, and that's again fucking weird. And that,
yeah,
even
that's weird
coming from someone playing shows where it was hundreds of people packed in a room. I knew why they were there. This one I was like, these are tiny little robots, man.
These are bigger and bigger every time we did it.
People
want to hear about them.
It's man, and that's a weird thing. I mean, that's even led to IPMS judging. That's something we've all been involved with to some degree or the other, is judging model kits. I mean, and that's a whole thing. I mean,
that's a thing. That's a thing
that's
for
a
me
whole
too.
Thing
because that's a whole thing. Yeah,
I didn't do conventions, competitions. You know, going to things like that. I mean, I guess conferences for research.
Yeah, I had the same experience with conferences, like just for presenting research. Yeah.
Yeah, but then going like a trip, you know, we went as a community and a shop to, you know, a convention. It was interesting, you know.
We transported the community, you know, a state away to do this thing. That's a pretty cool
undertaking. We had a convoy of nerds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was great.
With if you ask me, with you know, 2020 notwithstanding, probably a potential for like way more and other ones. But of course, you know, we haven't really had a chance to get that going again this year.
You know, NCG.
We actually talked about renting a van for the upcoming one, just to like get a bunch of nerds.
The nerd bus.
Ooh, I don't know.
Dan's like, I don't know about that.
You swing that door open and Rush 2112 is blaring out the speakers. Hey, anybody want a Funyun? Fuck no, because we're not stopping until we get there.
There's a fucking wizard painted on the side of
a wizard on the side of the nerd van. I have always wanted to have a wizard van, and now I feel like with the skills that I've developed painting Gunpla and miniatures, I could paint a wizard on the side of a van.
I was
definitely going to say some dude riding Fuensaki, but he's got a super beard.
Oh, masters. Yes.
Actually, if you do Makuve, it'd be the Gyan van.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. That's good.
That's right.
Could be worse. I mean, it's not the best pun. There were some coffee puns that were pretty good, but like it's, you know, it's all right.
No, that's good.
It's fine. Yeah.
This one, folks, is a little bit obviously of a fucking tell you this at the end, but you're all smart. A little more of a laid back episode.
Yeah.
We hit some pretty serious topics and we got to mix it up.
Yeah. We like to not have it be super serious hobby advice 24/7. We know, you know, especially everything going on right now, it's good just to have a good conversation with
something
three
like
of your homies. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for sure, I think everyone out there that is super into Gunpla, don't look at it as like your final thing. I mean, try other shit. I mean, that's something we're always about here, is trying new things. And I know for me, this hobby has brought me down a rabbit hole of everything from toy photography to making Star Wars props and shit that I wanted to do as a kid. From again watching Mythbusters and seeing Grant and Adam and everyone on that show making fucking exploding C-3POs and shit, I was like, I want to do that when I get older. That's my dream job. Yeah. I remember saying that. I was like some shit like that. I want to make fucking robots and blow shit up. My dad's like, well, I mean, the military, but nah, I don't think that's gonna really work out. But you know, there's different avenues.
Mythbuster was my dream job. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it was everyone's dream job as a kid. They're like, they get to go on TV and blow shit up and drive cars fast. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm.
And bury pigs in concrete. Good episode.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh man. Oh. And there's an, we've got no supply drop for this one. This, like we said, this one's is dedicated Grant. Mm-hmm. And the whole team, I mean, for Mythbusters and ILM and Star Wars and all the shit that all the people that inspired us and made all the cool shit that we watched as kids, that now instead of saying we want to be a firefighter when we grow up, we want to be like, well, I want to fucking make Star Wars toys right. when I grow up. And that's what I'm fucking doing. So
I want to be a professional model builder, you know, making props. I want to be a Mythbuster making things blow up. I want to be you basically, these are nerds grown up that are really contributing to the world. And so when young people see that, they have a role model that they can look up to. That's a really important thing. You know, mm-hmm. I know that that was critical in my life. Yeah. And we, you know, it's not that we necessarily want to contribute that. Like, that's a huge responsibility, being role models to kids. But we do want to, like, make a fun podcast about model kit stuff.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot for listening to us.
And be encouraging. Just be encouraging to our listeners about, just like Joel said, like opening up your avenues and thinking about, yeah, you know, you buy, you know, a couple high grades and, you know, build every now and then. Listen to us while you're building or whatnot. But that's not the end point. You know, that can be the starting point for other things. For you sure. know, just by dint of saying, okay, well, I'm going to open up an Instagram profile and post pictures and, you know, things like that. It's like, well, and you think about, you know, what else you can do with that. You think about what else you can do with your building. Like, you didn't think that you could paint very well or draw very well. Well, have you tried doing it with these? Mm-hmm.
Turns you out. Know? Yep. You're doing a pretty good job. You see yourself improve, you know, day by day. You learn how to better yourself. Improve yeah. your skills, learn how to use yep. tools, all transferable skills, install mm-hmm. some LEDs, learn how to do some wiring and soldering.
Mm-hmm.
Just so much you can do. Yep. It's a bottomless pit of nerd.
So,
and we're here to hold your hand somewhat of the way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
6 feet apart at least.
We're like sitting in your laps, showing you the things right. to do. Yeah.
We're the annoying kid that's like, yeah. look what I made. Hey, oh look, my. Look.
That is us, no. isn't it?
I'm the one that walks by you in the pool and pushes you off.
Damn, all right.
That's accurate.
Bailey's the bully.
No, I've always imagined that about Bailey. I just never told anyone. Because I didn't want to warn people because I wanted to see him do it.
Was that your weird hobby wet dream? Bailey pushing you off.
That
in
sounds
the pool.
About right. Yep.
Hey, Billy, how's it going? Oh, fuck!
Oh, fuck!
What the fuck,
how
dude?
Sad is that?
Oh, wait, I'm
how
learning sad how to swim.
How sad is... Okay, so you could be the kid that pushes the other kid into the pool. How sad is it that you're the one watching the kid that's pushing the kid into the pool wanting to be like him?
Damn. Oh. Damn, yeah.
That's brutal.
It cue some, like, Adult Swim-ish, like, oh. I don't know, Robot Chicken, like, stars and, like, dream sequence, like... You know, biting your
smile, friend.
That is ace. I want to do that. I want to do that.
Good God.
When I grow up, I want to be a Mythbuster. Oh, I want to push kids into the pool.
I want to watch kids be pushed into the pool by Bailey. That's what I want to be when I grow up. Just in the back. Yeah, Bailey. Hell
yeah.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
That
do
one
another
can't
one.
Swim.
Oh, God.
That one's on my hot dog later. Make sure you get him good. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
As soon as he's about to take a bite, you push him.
Oh, shit. Well, you know what? Fucking Tino, sign us off, dog. I think this has been a good little conversation. Hopefully this is, hopefully this inspired a lot of you to, you know, treat it like Taco Bell. Think outside the box or the bun or whatever the fuck they call it.
Taco Bell's not paying us, Joel.
I'm not down with that.
For sure. Just, you know, try and get inspired with this shit. Don't think of this as the end game. Think this is the first stepping stone, you know, for your anything you want to fucking do. Just take inspiration from it. Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. Yep. That's how you get better. That's how you branch out.
This is the way.
This is the way.
All right, Tino, sign us off, dog.
All right, just cool. Do it. Just do it, Tino. Come on.
All right. Well,
we're I dare you.
It's going to be badly. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Cutting Mat Podcast. I'm Big V, all over the internet, the one who will pierce the heavens with his mighty drill. The guy over there is Bailey. The other guy is Brandon. The other guy is Joel.
Nailed it.
There we go. Got it right.
That's a sign off.
Boom, fast. Podcast.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Dude, he gets better at that
every
time.
Hit the fucking Easy Bake Oven button for the podcast because this shit's done.
Easy Bake Podcast.
Do they make those anymore? Because those are microwaves, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure they've been rebranded.
I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like they burn people's house down, right? Like that's.
Do you think it's more effective to have an Easy Bake Oven in your room or a mini fridge? And why?
Mini fridge.
Oh, 100% mini fridge.
But energy drinks and beer. Anything up?
Yeah. Well, that's all right. I mean, you know, you got your CPU, your heat sink.
If it's getting hot enough to fucking reheat frozen food, then I think it's fucked.
You boost up Crysis 2 on max settings, and you can fry an egg.
Should be going.
If it's my 360, I can cook a whole frozen pizza on it.
Yeah.
Good God. Yeah.
Yeah, but you'll burn it. Tino, be careful you don't overheat that because a 360 will burn a frozen pizza.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'll also imagine like 3 o'clock in the morning and like your wife's in bed or your girlfriend or whatever. And then you start like fucking around with the Easy Bake Oven. Like, what are you doing? I'm making brownies.
I'm making brownies.
It's just that Rugrats episode where it's just Stu stirring the pudding.
I'm 35 years old making chocolate pudding because I've lost control of my life.
It's just I'm 20
you
years
know, the
old.
Mini fridge
using
is not a bad idea,
oven. Huh?
You just got to take easy out bake the oven? Bulb.
It's just a bulb.
No, I mean the Easy Bake Oven's a bulb. Now that we talk about it, right?
Oh, that was.
But I mean, cool. I'm talking about the fridge. You got to make sure you take the bulb out so it doesn't light up the whole freaking room when you're.
Well, like when
to
you open
a...
it at 3 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing? I'm grabbing a fucking monster for the boys.
The guys need a monster. We're recording a podcast.
I think this is where the music comes in.
Yes.